chapter 6, verse 10 and 17. And shall we come up and read it?
Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers in the present darkness, against the forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you will be able to stand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows as the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is the word of the Lord.
So we continue the sermon series looking at the vows that the youth will take on Confirmation Sunday next week. Vows we know are promises, our dedications, our commitments that we make. When you get your driver's license, you vow or promise to be a good driver and obey the rules of the road. When you marry someone, you vow to be faithful to them and love them in sickness and in health. When you take a job, you often sign a contract or you make a commitment or dedication to that company to do the job that you were hired for as well. And parents, they make an unsaid vow with each other to nurture and help their children, raise them in a home of love and family. Vows are so special in the church that we start the vow young. For many, all the confirmation youth were baptized as infants. For when they were baptized as infants, their parents took a vow for them to initiate them into the body of Christ. And now the youth are turning this exciting point in their life, going through confirmation, where they themselves will choose next week to take a vow, to affirm that God is for them and they are committed to Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, I ask that the words of my mouth spoken today be acceptable in your sight. You use these words to touch our hearts, Lord, to make us understand faith, to know that our reflections are truly for you, all honor and glory. Amen. So Phil and I were in the supermarket yesterday. We couldn't decide what to eat for dinner, and after children's choir, we went home and decided to go shopping. And around 4:30 in the afternoon, we were surprised that Vons was so busy. All the lines were busy, and if you looked at people's carts, there was drinks and alcohol and chips and boxes of frozen pizzas and taquitos, and we kind of thought, what's happening? What's going on? And then we overheard some conversation of the people in front of us, and a lot of you people know what it was, right? The Manny Pacquiao versus Floyd Mayweather fight. Now, this fight, I know, has been on TV, it's been in the news, it's been publicized, people are talking about it. I don't know why Phil and I didn't realize that's why everyone was at the supermarket getting their snacks for the fight. Even my sister was at a friend's party where they had a large screen TV. They were all going to watch the fight together and eat lots of good food for a 12-round fight. So if you hear all the hype about this fight, you know it's the fight of the century, right? The fight of the century, the David versus Goliath fight, the Pacquiao speed versus the Mayweather strength, who would win this fight? People are placing bets, people are eagerly watching the show, they're going to have a good time. Because this is the fight of the century, as everyone is calling it. Now, when I think of the words fight of the century, I think it doesn't apply to a fight, this fight that these two boxers made millions of dollars, I hear, whether they win or lose. Even the loser, I heard, makes over $100 million. But when I think of the words fight of the century, I think more about what's happening in our society. I feel today that we as Christians are in our own fight of the century. We hear more and more about people on Sundays choosing not to go to church. My sister and her friends choose to sleep in and then join each other at 11 or noon for brunch and take their time having a good day. We hear about parents who enroll their kids in soccer or tennis, and they have these games and tournaments on Sundays, and they don't go to church. We hear about college students who have gone to church their whole life, and then when they go to college, they have this freedom, and they join friends, and they do all these other things on Sunday, and they don't go to church. And we hear about daily what is happening in other countries where people are not allowed to pray, where churches are being bombed, where people are being persecuted for their faith still. I think today we as Christians are hearing more and more about people who are losing faith or meeting more and more people who never had faith in the first place. We are facing the fight of the century ourselves. So that's why I think it is so important when we think about how we are facing this fight of the century of losing people, of people having a disconnect with God, of people no longer caring about God, of people no longer following Christ. That it is so much important then that we look at these vows that you take, especially the vows the youth will take next week for membership. We talked last week about vow number one, to renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness and reject the evil powers of the world and repent of your sins. And next Sunday, when the youth get confirmed, we will talk about confessing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, putting your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as Lord in union with the church in Christ. And this morning we're going to look at the second vow that they will take. It's, do you accept the freedom and power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, oppression in whatever forms they present? To accept the freedom and the power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they represent. So if you notice this second vow, it has two verbs. First, to accept, and second, to resist. Now, accept and resist, they're interesting put together. These verbs are complete opposites of each other. When you accept something, you take on, you accept it. When you resist something, you push away, you don't accept it. But these verbs, these two verbs in this vow, go together so perfectly that one would not be possible without the other. Think about all these other things in life that are complete opposites but yet must go together. If you imagine a piano keyboard, keys are painted white and black. Can you imagine coming to a piano where all the keys are painted white? Would that be hard or easier to play? The complete opposites, the black and white keys are so important and are needed because people know then that the black keys are the sharps and the flats, and they know certain notes are in black keys and certain notes are on white keys. Or what about your car? Everyone drives a car, and in your car you have two pedals, the brake and the gas pedal. They go together, although they are complete opposites, but are needed and are important. Would you dare drive a car that only had a gas pedal? Or would a car even move if it only had a brake pedal? No, you need both to go together, this perfect combination. Or what about my favorite thing about an Oreo cookie? A simple Oreo cookie is this great crunchy chocolate cookie. And the opposite of that is the white vanilla cream smooth inside. Can you imagine eating an Oreo cookie without the creamy filled center? Or what if someone gave you just a glob of Oreo cream without the cookie on the outside? Again, complete opposites that are so needed to go together, important in a way. So when we look at the vow of accepting the freedom and power that God gives you, and also resisting evil and injustice, we know that these two things, to accept and to resist, are important and must go together. Looking first at the first part of the vow, to accept the freedom and power that God gives you, we think about this morning's passage that Paul wrote in his letter to Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul starts this morning's passage with saying, finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength in His power. Paul is reminding the people of the Lord's power and the strength that the Lord has. And then he was reminding the people also about the Lord's love for them. For you see, it's an interesting thing where the people during the time of Paul were being persecuted for being Christians for their faith, just as we hear about others today in this world who are still being persecuted for their faith. But Paul he's very smart, he's very tricky, because he knows that the emperors and the authorities are looking at Christians and saying, well, those Christians, Because they follow Jesus, and they follow God, they're not right people. They're immoral people. They do wrong things. But Paul, he is so smart. He is writing these things in his letters to Ephesus, reminding people to do good and moral things. But he is also reminding them about God as well. I encourage you to take a time later to read, if you can, Ephesians chapter 6. For in the very beginning of Ephesians chapter 6, Paul is telling them, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. To honor your father and mother, this is the first commandment with a promise." He also tells fathers, "Do not provoke your children to anger, to bring them up in discipline and instruction of the Lord." And he tells slaves to obey their earthly masters, and he tells masters to help out their slaves. Paul is doing what we call household duties. He's addressing the household duties, reminding them to be good citizens of each state, to obey each other, to be kind to each other, to be in perfect harmony. How can then people who persecute Christians argue with that? There is nothing that the authorities could find wrong in these messages of children obeying parents, of slaves obeying their earthly masters, of masters being kind, and of fathers raising children up in discipline. But Paul is, in these messages of household duties, also hiding special messages of how we are to obey the Lord. So when he says, "Children, obey your parents," he's also reminding us that we are children of the Lord, and we must obey our God. And when he says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling as you obey Christ," he is reminding us that it is Christ who we must bow down before. So Paul is doing the smart thing so that by the time he gets to verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6 and reminding them to be strong in their strength and in God's power, he's connecting it then to this vow that we have this morning to accept the freedom and power that God gives us. God gives us freedom. I know it sounds like an odd thing to think about, that we have freedom because God should dictate our lives. But we were reminded in Genesis that we are created in the image of God and given dominion over this earth. God trusts us so much that he gives us free will. And it is up to us to accept that free will and make the right choices. Now think about a child as they are growing up. As you get older, you hope that you are given more freedoms, that your parents give you more and more freedom and choices to take on. But we know that this freedom is given with a price, for we must make right choices. And when we don't make right choices, we hurt ourselves. And God wants to give us the freedom to make these right choices so that we do not hurt ourselves. So then when we say we accept the freedom and power that God gives us, we are saying, yes, we accept this wonderful responsibility, because we know it represents the love that God gives us. So then, when we continue to accept the freedom that God gives us, we must also remember to resist injustice, evil, and oppression, to do both accept and resist. To resist now evil, injustice, and oppression, and whatever forms they represent themselves. Paul goes on in this morning's passage from Ephesians 6 in verse 11, where he talks about putting on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Paul here is saying this is how you can resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they put themselves in. This is a great passage. It has such wonderful imagery as he describes putting on the armor of God. He says, "Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand the evil day. And having done everything, stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness, shoes on your feet, that whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace." What a wonderful image. It's actual visual clothing when you think about it. When people prepare for things, they will dress themselves up for what they are preparing themselves for. I know there was great debate in the Manny Pacquiao fight yesterday about Manny Pacquiao wanting to use his own gloves. There was a big debate about that. They called it sort of the 11th hour debate. Was the fight going to be canceled because Pacquiao was using his own gloves? As you prepare for something, just boxers prepared for the fight, they have their gloves, they tape up their hands, they wear certain shorts and shoes as well to make them nimble on the boxing ring. They prepare themselves for the fight they are about to take. And here Paul is preparing the people of Ephesus to prepare themselves for the fight they are facing as they are persecuted as Christians. He first says to fasten the belt of truth around their waist, because during that time, people, yes, were being asked, "Do you follow Christ?" And they would lie if they say no, but they feared persecution. So Paul is reminding them to be truthful in all they do and all they say. He also then says, put on the breastplate of righteousness, for people must know that when they have Christ in their heart, they are in the right and deserve to be righteous. They must be proud of their faith and not be afraid. Recently in the story of, we hear about the earthquake in Nepal, many stories of people praying have come up. And I heard of a story of families in India who were praying for relatives in Nepal who they were afraid were lost. And there was an interview in a Christian Science magazine about a woman who said she was praying for her family. And they asked her, "Why are you praying so hard?" And she says, because she was taught that when you pray, God hears you. It's a conversation you're having in prayer. And then they asked this woman, how did she learn about this? And she shared a story of another woman in India. A woman named Sammy, and this woman named Sandy was an Indian woman who passed away a couple of years ago. But this woman, a mother of three, decided that she was going to not just follow Christ, but help others draw to Christ. She helped convert lots of other mothers and their children and taught them about the power of prayer. But this woman, Sammy, when the Indian government heard about what she was doing and disagreed with what she was doing, they arrested her. And they gave her the choice of being in jail for 2 months or promising that she would never pray again and teach others about God. And this woman, Sammy, she gave up her life for 2 months. She was in prison, away from her children, not working, not making an income, because she did not want to make a promise against God. She chose jail over giving up her faith. She had the breastplate of righteousness on her and the belt of truth around her. That is a wonderful example of being a strong Christian for God. And then I love also how Paul continues in this morning's passage description, the truth, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. And he says also shoes for your feet to put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. Now I love that Paul says shoes about proclaiming the gospel of peace. Another step of how we can resist evil. When you put on shoes, you know that you are going to go out somewhere. Many of us come from Asian households, so what is the first thing we do when we come into the house? We take off our shoes. I know for Phil and some of his friends, when they would visit us, they would kind of get perplexed. Why do we have to take off our shoes? You know. But then when you put your shoes back on, that means you're going to go. You're going to go out. So Paul is saying to the people of Ephesus to not be still. Yes, it's wonderful that they have these meetings and are praying in people's homes because they are not allowed to do it in the temple. But he is saying you must, to spread the gospel, to proclaim the gospel of peace, put on shoes, to go out into the world, to continue to spread the news to your neighbors, to your community, as far as Rome and India and other places that Paul and the apostles went. To put on shoes and not be still, to go out into the world to proclaim the gospel of peace. This is also how we resist evil, to go out into the world and proclaim that Jesus Christ died for our sins, to not be still. So with the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes that will take us to proclaim the gospel of faith, we then can take what Paul says, the shield of faith, to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one, to resist the devil, and instead to seek out justice and righteousness. And Paul closes this morning's passage by saying that we must then take a helmet of salvation and a sword of the Spirit and the Word of God. This armor of God that Paul is talking about, when we accept to follow God, is with us all the time. That helps gives us the steps to resist evil, to also be truthful in our faith, to go out and proclaim the world, and also to be able to say that, yes, we follow and accept Christ in our hearts. These are ways that we prepare ourselves for the fight of this century. So then, in this next century, we can say, instead of the church losing members, the church gained members. Instead of more people being disconnected from God, we instead say more people are connected to God. And we know that we can help each other as well to make sure that we come to church, to pray for each other, just as we have lifted up prayers this morning's joys and concerns, and to continue to be in fellowship with each other. Let us pray. Lord, we hear your word this morning, the reminder of this vow, the important vow not just to accept, but to resist as well. We're so thankful for the free will that you have given us, for the trust that you give us as your children, to learn to do right, to learn to draw closer to you, Lord. And as we accept this freedom and this power that you have given us, we know that we must also in turn resist evil, to fight injustice, and seek ways that we can bring the gospel to the world. In your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we prepare for our time of communion together. Hear now these words as we begin our service of word and table. Christ the Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and with all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join your unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery, through sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. Thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ,
we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim together the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. Until Christ comes again in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray together our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We invite all to come forward as they are able to take the Last Supper and receive the body and the blood of Christ for you. Let us pray. Living God, we do in remembrance as we taste the bread and the juice of the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, for us. We know that he died for our sins so that we continue to have this freedom and the power and strength that you give us. We reside in you, Lord, and continue to be your disciples, to do what you have called us to do in times that are hard, in times that require us to resist evil, to bring justice to this world, now and forever. Amen.
We'll now have our time of offering. Will the ushers please come forward? Rise for the doxology. In our lives, we thank you for blessing us with a roof over our heads, food to eat, jobs, and school to go to each day. We thank you for our family and friends, and most of all, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we can have eternal life. We know there are many in the community and in the world who do not know you. We pray that you will use a portion of the blessings that you have given us so that others in the community and in the world will know the saving grace of your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We have a number of announcements in our bulletin. Is there anything that isn't listed in the bulletin? Gaius? thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's wonderful. The English COM and the Chinese COM has decided to have this time of prayer for our members. Gaius had a really good idea. Maybe we can eventually also have the people's photos with their names. So if you have a family photo to submit, that would be nice as well. And speaking of photos, the church trustees are working on the church website. We want to update it. We want to make it better and include more visitor-friendly things. This will also include posting different photos of different church activities. We'll put it in the worship bulletin next Sunday, but I'm announcing it today as well. If you do not want your photo or your family's photo used in any website, please see me and let me know, and we'll also put this in the worship bulletin next week as well. Thank you.
Thank you. And next Sunday is Mother's Day and Confirmation Sunday. Please invite your family and friends to join us as we celebrate. Any other announcements? Okay, if not, then we will move on to our closing hymn. Will you please rise? Oh, Jean, I'm sorry.
Thank you for that reminder. Yeah. So we want to keep Isabel in our prayers. She's not feeling well, and Andy has been taking care of her this past week, and also for Cynthia and the new baby. But thank you for the reminder that we do not have finance committee today.
Okay, now you can please rise if you're able to.
Yesu, Yesu, fill us with your love, show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you. Kneels at the feet of his friends, silently washes their feet. Master who acts as a slave to them. Yesu, Yesu, fill us with your love, show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you. Neighbors are rich and poor, neighbors are black and white, neighbors are near and far away. Yesu, Yesu, fill us with your love, show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you. These are the ones we should serve, these are the ones we should love. All these are neighbors to us and you. Yesu, Yesu, fill us with your love, show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you. Loving puts us on our knees, serving us though we are slaves. This is the way we should live with you. Yesu, Yesu, fill us with your love, show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you. Kneels at the feet of our friends, silently washing their feet. This is the way we should live with you. Yesu, Yesu, fill us with your love. Show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you.
Playing a part, we lay a plan, like we know.